noisy.
You just don't okay, everybody.
Oh, I didn't change my shirt.
I had the same shirt on as I had yesterday. Oh, dale.
So my husband doesn't want to put my website, my Facebook page, so he can broadcast directly onto mine. He only wants his pages.
You were able to share just now.
No, but I don't want to have to do that every time. I want it to automate like all your 18 pages. Hi, everybody. God is so good. Good morning.
You're going to have to do like I did just a minute ago where I said, I love my children as I'm picking up after them. As I'm picking up after them going. All right, my friends. Hey, we love you. We have a lot to talk about today, whether Hedy knows it or not. The first thing we need you to go to livingfearlessdevotional.com. Those of you that are visiting for the first time, that's where you will find our podcast at the Apple Podcast app. Subscribe, put 5 stars and tell us how much you love the podcast. And then you can watch it or listen to it on any other podcast platform, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all the others, Google Podcasts.
So cool.
There's so many. We're everywhere. We're all over the place. Woo! But we just need you to go to the Apple Podcast first, because that's kind of building up an audience. We can show people that actually that people actually like it. The other great thing, I'm so proud of my dear wife here, is that she has an article that just came out that's got a very sizzle. What's
you
it
like
called?
That title?
That title, like, it was going to grab some attention there. It's at the Christian Post. You can go to thechristianpost.com.
I just became an exclusive columnist,
and I was just going to share that.
Oh, sorry.
My gosh, you're just like talking
I'm just
about
very your, excited.
It's like talking about yourself, don't you?
I'm excited.
This article is already getting attention. Lots of people are already commenting on it. So go and visit that article today on the Christian Post. And I'm guessing that at the bottom, there's probably a place where, you can put comments right there in the Christian Post. It would be great, again, just a support.
Show
support. Oh, my gosh.
And look at that, Living Fearless Devotion. Do you see my tagline?
No, let me see.
Look.
Where? Oh, look at that. Oh, my gosh, you're the best. That's why I love you.
See that?
All right, so let's get rid of that. So go to the Christian Post and leave a comment as to that article. Speaking of comments, we need you to comment on the show, whether you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, leave a comment. That's how it gets pushed out. The more people comment, then the more that it'll share it with other people that think that the social media tyrants believe will want to watch the show. And so that's the only way we can win this battle, is if you comment and share it out and subscribe. All right. With all that said, let me go ahead and change the screen. I actually want to talk just a little bit about yesterday's service at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills with our great pastor, Jack Gibbs. It was so controversial, I guess. He knew it ahead of time that he didn't even want to put it on Facebook and YouTube and all the social medias, because he knew what would happen. And he did not disappoint.
He did not.
The message was not.
I think he tackled every subject there was.
He held back nothing. Yeah. And I look for it to try to share it with you on their website, on the Calvary Chapel, on Jack Gibbs' website, and it's nowhere to be. It is that controversial.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nothing bad. I mean, it's nothing bad conservative Christians.
No.
It's exactly what
it actually sounded like, a lunch conversation between me and my girlfriend, Danielle. we will literally run through each one of those subjects and probably say the exact same thing. So it just seemed like he just wanted to share his heart with us about just everything that's upsetting him right now.
What's one of the things? What's? Oh, you want to look at the comments? Hello, Amy. Nice to see you.
Hi, Amy.
And Priscilla. Priscilla's saying hi to Amy. Very good. Keep the comments coming. And Amy was watching last night.
Was Priscilla watching?
I think Priscilla might have been watching. I texted Amy and said, are you hearing this right now? Because, then the guy got in trouble right next to me. I was hoping Jack didn't think it was me. I go, I want to go, it's that guy.
Oh, no, he knew. He's used to him.
Yeah, that guy's.
Take him out.
Don't say that.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying us. Yeah, we're saying that. We're imitating the guy next to us.
Yeah.
Take them out. Who would I be referring to?
Well, I just didn't want the tyrants to think that I was.
Do you think they have an algorithm for them out?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they do. I mean, they know what I'm shopping for, like what I'm talking about. Like, gosh, I need some new underwear. And the next thing I see, underwear commercials.
Yeah, because it's because you have 5 Alexas in the house, too.
All right, let's get back to the topic.
Big brother's watching.
What's one of the, and we'll talk about it later possibly, but what's one of the main topics that you heard Jack talk about that really hit you? What was one of the most poignant? Ooh, look at that word.
I think the way he described, there's so many, but the way he described the Constitution being dead and that we are on borrowed time and that the Constitution was basically shot and is bleeding out and as at this point has died. And the country we now live in, we're the remnant, we're, as far as the church is concerned, the only people left that really are holding on to the true gospel are basically the remnant waiting for the return of Christ. And so it's just, it's very impactful to think that we are, and he described it, he gave the analogy of water. And he says that, you know, as when a flood starts or when like your basement's flooding, it starts really low and it's at your feet and then people start to panic. And he's like, by the end of this year, we should be 6 feet deep.
Yep.
And I was like, wait a minute. Yeah. That is a fast flood if we're going to be 6 feet deep by the end of the year. So
I think that hit Amy too, because that's what she sent me in the text. She goes, get ready for the river or something like that. The river's coming. But she says that the church website says the recording will be available tonight.
Ah, okay.
So obviously we'll post that. I'll probably get shut down and canceled for posting it, but I'm going to put it up anyway. All right. Yeah. Yeah,
gosh, they don't pay our rent. What do we care?
I love you more every second. All right, here we go. We're going to read the devotional today. We're reading from Utmost, My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers for February 25th. And it's entitled The Destitution of Service. The reference is 2 Corinthians 12:15. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. And we're going to get to a little bit of Jack's message with this particular one because he spoke about this last night. Natural human love expects something in return. But Paul is saying it doesn't really matter to me whether you love me or not. I am willing to be completely destitute anyway, willing to be poverty stricken, not just for your sakes, but also that I may be able to get you to God. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. And Paul's idea of service was the same as our Lord's. He did not care how high the cost was to himself. He would gladly pay it. It was joyful. It was a joyful thing to Paul. The institutional church's idea of a servant of God is not at all like Jesus Christ's idea. His idea is that we serve him by being the servants of others. Jesus Christ actually out-socialized the socialist. He said that in his kingdom, the greatest one would be the servant of all. The real test of a saint is not one's willingness to preach the gospel, but one's willingness to do something like washing the disciples' feet. That is, being willing to do those things that seem unimportant in human estimation, but count as everything to God. It was Paul's delight to spend his life for God's interest in other people, and he did not care what it costs. But before we will serve, we stop to ponder our personal and financial concerns. What if God wants me to go over there? And what about my salary? What is the climate like over there? Who will take care of me? A person must consider all these things. All that is an indication that we have reservations about serving God. But the Apostle Paul had no conditions or reservations. Paul focused his life on Jesus Christ's idea of a New Testament saint. That is, not one who merely proclaims the gospel, but one who becomes broken bread and poured out wine in the hands of Jesus Christ for the sake of others. Oh, it's even better. These things are always better the second or third time you read them.
Absolutely.
So it's take a lesson of that. If you're in a devotional, read it a couple times out loud. I have to read mine out loud. That is me. I have to read it out loud or else I don't hear it. I have to hear myself speak in order to hear it. But that is such good stuff. And and you want to talk a little bit about what this reminds you of last night's service, of what he was talking about?
Sure. It broken bread and poured out wine. Jack, if I remember this correctly, he was talking about how he went to the Lord trying to understand this paradox of being hated, where Christ teaches us, if you love me, they will hate you. Remember, they hated me first. And offer yourself as a living sacrifice, basically telling you, warning you that it's going to be a very difficult road. People are going to hate you. And yet we are supposed to love them. So Jack was saying, I was talking to the Lord, I don't understand. They're going to hate us and we're going to love them. So how does that exactly work? And he says that he's realizing more and more what the reality of that concept is, and Oswald's repeating it too, that a New Testament saint is willing to get spit on, ridiculed, hated, cursed, and give love in return, because he's loving for Christ's sake. And the more we hear about Paul's story, and I love that movie we saw on Paul's life, but the more we hear about Paul, he's the greatest example of that, and possibly what we're going to face. What Paul went through during his day is potentially what we will face, the corrupt Roman Empire, the, you know, drinking and fornicating and being like, oh, those Nazarenes over there, you know, there's a good chance we're going to be like those people. And I mean, and Jack was saying that he couldn't broadcast it because he literally went through every controversial subject, homosexuality, LGBTQ rights, the gay marriage, everything, is the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, the election, everything. He's like, basically, we're on the wrong side of this government on virtually everything. And so we just have to wait for the persecution to begin. Mm-hmm. And the more we get persecuted, the more we're supposed to love.
Right. And we're learning, and it's exposing that swamp that President Trump talked about, that he was coming to drain, and why they hate him so much and why they went after him. And then Jack also brought it, goes, did we even ever think that we would have the corrupt FBI and DEA and the ATF and the DOJ and the CIA, that we would have this weird.
And I worked for one. I mean, I literally was hired by one of the people that are most embroiled in the scam. And I can't even wrap my head around that man that I respected so much had done the things that he had done to the president. I've just, and not because of my, like, I mean, I love President Trump and what he did for the country, but the fact that the respect and the honor that we gave to the FBI was just tarnished.
Right.
Like, what he did was just wrong.
To create crimes. I mean, they were going for 5 years. They were creating crimes in order to try to get him impeached, to have him arrested, to do whatever.
Friends and all of his associates and anyone that came anywhere. I mean, General Flynn, Lieutenant General Flynn, who had served this country for 40 years, had his life destroyed for just wanting to serve under the president.
Wait and see if something happens. I mean, wait for the things that you thought he was going to do. You thought he was going to take us to wars. You thought he was going to have really bad foreign policies. You thought that he was going to destroy the country.
What did he do? He stopped all the wars, brought a whole bunch of industry back to America, made us rich. And you know what I mean? Like, it's just,
I know this is sounding a lot like my nighttime show, but
we're not going to do that.
but it is about what's happening to our country in relationship to the church.
It is
that we have all this happening, and at the same time, they are trying to silence the church, silence the pastor, put pressure on pastors to change the way they interpret the Bible, the way that they pastor to their flock. They're forcing them and causing them to make these huge changes that are not biblical whatsoever. And again, we talked about this the other day, where you have a church, I think it's in Canada, though, that is saying the Bible doesn't matter.
Well, there's a lot of churches here. Basically, if you remove the infallibility of the Bible, everything's fair game. Hmm. Homosexuality, gay marriage, all of it becomes fair game, because you could just twist the scripture to say what you want.
Yeah, and then he talked about the First and Second Amendment, and this is the first time I thought about, I love where I'm at right now. I've learned so much. I wish I would have learned this in high school. And that's why they don't want to teach it in high school. That's why I don't want to teach it in schools about our Constitution, about all this type of stuff, because I just realized through the teaching last night that the First and Second Amendment go hand in hand. The First and Second Amendment are biblical. The First Amendment is that we are able to speak and have church and be able to attend.
Inalienable rights.
And then the Second Amendment was there to protect that First Amendment right. I never even thought about that.
Deep.
Wow. Last night was amazing. But as we were talking about what seemingly seems like a political issue, it is a biblical issue.
Yes.
As we go on each day.
Yes. And what did he say? It was John Adams who said that the foundational principles of the country cannot stand without a moral and religious society. They will fall by the wayside, because you will not value those inalienable rights given by God if you don't believe in God.
Absolutely. Amy says it's all related, all part of what's happening. It is. Absolutely. Yes. The church scares them, the Democrats. I really felt God speaking through Jack last night. It was so good. I mean, just subject after subject.
Yes.
And he still he controlled the room. When that guy spoke out, he pointed and he said, you're going to get in trouble. And he said, no, you need to. You could see it in his eyes. Like, you need to quiet down.
Pipe down.
You're the one. You're the one who's going to get us in trouble.
Right.
You're the guy that ran into the Capitol building. Right. I mean, exactly. I don't think he did. I don't want the FBI going after him with the black helicopters. But that's the problem. We have a few of those that will kind of get us into trouble. I want to talk about the one line here where it says that. Oh my gosh,
I found socialists out-socializing the socialists.
Yeah. Here it is. So his idea that we serve him by being the servants of others. Jesus Christ actually out-socialized the socialists. He said that in his kingdom, the greatest one would be the servant of all. And the reason I wanted to bring that up is because that's the problem with why socialism doesn't work the way that they've been doing it. Because what they're doing is creating these dynasties, these elite portions of our government through socialism, and pushing down and making this gap between the elites and the common man so huge. That is not what the Bible asks. The Bible asks that these people that are in leadership help and actually be down there with them, helping them with social issues and picking them up and washing their clothes and washing their feet and all that kind of stuff. Not to be, these leaders, so-called leaders.
Untouchables.
Untouchables above the other people. And that's a very powerful part of that devotional that really just made me, oh my gosh, out-socialize the socialists.
Oh my God. And you know, the analogy, similar to what my article was saying, is that we've created this whole genre of celebrity preachers that are somehow untouchable, no matter how corrupt they are. And that's probably why the Lord socialized the church, is to realize that this is not what Christ intended. He didn't expect some like religious elite. He didn't want to create Pharisees that were above reproach, and then everybody else is just the common man. I mean, that's just not the system that he intended, that we were all to be servant leaders, that we were all serving one another, that the church was one body, not a bunch of rich, fancy people up here and then the peasants down there. The whole church system's corrupt.
Dang. I just thought of something. I put the link for Hedia's article in the chat. For some reason, Twitter rejected it, but maybe it'll propagate again. I don't know how many people are watching on Twitter, but you guys should be able to see it in the chat. Just click on that. If you can't, go to christianpost.com and you'll find it there. What you made me just think about is this concept of separation of church and state. Now, many people misuse that in a lot of ways, but the government has a specific job, and that is to take care of our country through military, protected from enemies.
Yes.
It is to maintain laws and law and order, but it's not to run our medical system. It's not to, for a lot of social programs, that's not what the government is for. But the church, and I talked about this the other day on my nighttime show, is that churches are really good at that kind of stuff. Helping
civil society,
raising money for the poor, feeding the hungry. The church, Friends Church and Chino Hills Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. We do that, right? We have programs where we collect food, we collect clothing. That's the church's job.
Well, and that's the foundation of American society, that we're supposed to have limited government and an expanded civil society infrastructure to take care of the needs of the people, empowered by the people.
Yep, absolutely. And we look at these trillions of dollars that are going to these programs that never get spent on the people that need it. You talk about Black Lives Matter. I'm going to talk about Black Lives Matter. I'm so sorry. Not really. I just put a post up that they raised $90 million just in the year that they were terrorizing our country. $90 million, but nobody can see where any of that money was spent on Black communities.
Exactly.
It wasn't spent on their education. It wasn't spent on helping them out of poverty. It wasn't helping on programs to create, a program that helps fathers continue to be fathers after a child is born. None of that money was spent on any of that stuff that we really know.
It went to campaigns.
Yeah.
You know, I like to refer to them as BLM Inc. Mm. Because Black lives, of course, do matter.
Yeah.
As all lives matter. And so it's like they've just, I just want to take back that name too. Like they don't deserve to have the title.
No, but that's what Democrats, what liberals, Democrats do, is they attach these really flowery names to stuff. Yeah. I think Jack even mentioned it last night too, is that the cultural betterment of our world, and it means nothing. It's like to destroy the cultural betterment of our world. Yes. I mean, they always name it these things that mean that do nothing. It's like the stimulus.
The Equality Act.
The Equality Act, right?
The Equality Act, where men can serve on women's sports. But mind you, it doesn't say women can go on to men's sports, but men can serve on women's sports, compete in women's sports, and co-ed showers and bathrooms in our schools and in our communities for our children to share showers and bathrooms. Our little girls.
Yeah. And I know so many of my friends who are very silent now. You know, that's the one thing on my Facebook post. I don't see much of my Democrat friends that have not unfriended. I know they haven't unfriended me because I still see their posts, but they're not commenting like they used to. What are they going to do? Are they going to defend, men competing with little girls in sports? How can you defend that?
Right.
Are you going to defend that they want to close off Florida from the rest of the country, but they're going to allow illegal immigrants to come across our border? How do you defend that
we have to wear masks everywhere we go? Our schools are closed, yeah. But there's thousands of immigrants coming in. No papers.
Yeah.
No immunization records. Nothing. So they don't have to do it, but we do.
They're not prioritizing vaccines for certain, the elderly in certain areas of our country, but they're prioritizing vaccines for illegal aliens coming across the border. I mean, how do you defend any of those policies that are happening right now? Again, I know this is sounding very political, but this is very biblical in the sense that we have to do a better job as conservative Christians of getting our church through this darkness that we're through. We cannot lay down. We cannot give up. We have to keep the Bible first and foremost as our manual for every day and what it is we're going to do. But we cannot go back to sleep.
And no, we will be hated for it.
Yes. Bringing us back to the devotional. You are so good. We will be hated.
To live is Christ, yes. And to die is gain.
Oh, I love last night's message. I can't wait to watch it again. I'm glad it's going to be back on. Amy said that they're going to have it on that's possible that they'll have it back on or have it up on the website later on today. It's powerful. I will share it and hopefully it won't get taken down.
I want to share one more thing about it is that I think that people should really pay attention to the way he describes homosexuality, because I actually have this conversation with my daughter all the time. It's Christians do not hate people that are homosexual. We hate the sin. And so the goal is to constantly, he says, I don't care what you do in your bedroom. He's like, but I have to tell you that that's not what God wants for you. And that God doesn't want that for his creation, because he made us male and female to live together in a covenant, to have children, to procreate. So it's a temptation like any other temptation. If God could free you from addictions, from other kinds of debauchery, he could free you from homosexuality. You just have to fight the temptations, because we have all kinds of temptations in life. We have temptations, and growing up, I grew up in Beverly Hills, but everybody stole. Everybody liked to go to the local grocery store. Did you guys have that? The local thrifties and steal. I don't think rich kids stealing. It was the craziest thing ever. But it was this urge that we had to go and steal stuff from the local thrifties. So it's life presents all kinds of temptations, stealing on our taxes, or in other ways, just kind of all the corruption that we can engage in. And we fight that temptation in our pursuit of holiness. Mm. And he says, homosexuality is no different. We have to fight that temptation and that believe that God's grace and the Holy Spirit power within us will help us overcome it.
Pastor Jack said he was turned on by other pastors for doing what God told him to do. You remember that?
Well, yeah. And he said that God has graced the church to be in a position to help them, because he encouraged them to stay open. They're now suffering financially and politically in their communities. And Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is now in a position to help them, which is awesome.
But we have to also talk about, now that you reminded me of something, is that when he made this decision based on what God told him to open back up, to open Calvary Chapel Chino Hills back up, that God spoke to him. He said he wrote it on his computer and put tape over it so it wouldn't go away on the date of May 31st. Is that?
Yes. I think
that's what he said.
Pentecost.
That once he told the other churches, like, hey, you guys need to open up, they hated him.
Yeah, they were very
and a large angry. Number of them hated him and told him to retract it and to create a video apologizing for telling other pastors and open up their church.
And I'm thinking,
can you imagine that?
I'm thinking, have you met him? Like, you guys have been serving together for years. Have you actually met him? Because to ask him to do that is just laughable.
Wow. I was almost, I would say, it's hard to say anything's unbelievable. after the year 2020 and 2021 and what's happening now, nothing is unbelievable. But right. That was pretty close to being astounding. Unbelievable. Yeah. That he was attacked by other pastors in the same association. And then said, we need you to make a video apologizing. He's like, what? He's just like, you got to be kidding me.
And then he says he has a big announcement for us. So we're all like guessing what that big announcement is.
Oh my gosh. It's like telling a cat to apologize for killing a bird. Like, the cat's going, I'm a cat. Like, I'm a pastor. That's what I read. What the God told right? me. The Bible says, and this is ridiculous. I love when he talks about masks, and it just you got to watch the message. Awesome. It's so good. Hated.
We will be hated, and that he was hated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he was hated, and attacked, and just attacked by not just other churches and other pastors, but just attacked like crazy. But he likes it. It's kind of I like it. I kind of enjoy it myself.
Well, it's not an easy road for sure.
I do have to say, as I am addressing the school board in some of my shows and calling out. Some of the school board members that I know that have children that go to the same school. And I know that I've gotten word from other people that they're watching some of those shows that are in our community. I was at a restaurant the other day and somebody says, hey, I watch your shows. Thank you for speaking up. But we're going to have the other side of hate it. And the only thing I am concerned about is my kids that are currently
going to that school. That's what we have to be concerned about is our kids.
But we can't. I mean, that's how they put pressure on you to shut up.
Exactly.
So you got to kind of tell the kids, hey, listen, let me know if anything's happening. I mean, we have to have this discussion, but that's how they silence you.
Yeah.
Is by intimidation.
You. Yep. Your weak points. And that's why it's so important to suit up every day with the armor of God and know that we have his strength and his courage to stand, because it's not easy. I can anticipate all kinds of difficulty that can come our way.
Yep. God, I have something. My mind's racing 100 miles a minute, because really? I was thinking about with our discussion this morning about where you thought that, you know, on occasion you're thinking maybe we should move closer to the church, and I'm not that convinced we need to live. I think he needs us over here in Orange County, the Orange County wing, of the church.
I am so.
But I hope I'm not overstepping.
No.
But just knowing where you're from, and how you grew up.
Yes.
And then you want to move to Chino Hills. It's like, God, I love you. Right? I just love it. Because not that Chino Hills is bad. No, that you live in Chino, I'm not telling you it's bad. It smells like cows still. It used to be way worse.
Yeah.
But I go, oh my gosh, Eddie wants to live amongst the cows.
It's not so cute. Whatever, dude, Jesus.
On a foggy day, man, that odor comes out strong.
Wow. In the summertime, I literally could smell it coming over the freeway off ramp of the 71. I'm like, oh, and I didn't know there were cows, because I'd never been to Chino Hills until I started going to church. And I was like, what is that smell?
Most of it's coming from Norco, but still.
And I was asking Jolene, our friend at church, I was like, what? What is the smell? She's like, oh, that's the cows. I was like, there's cows out here? I was like,
there's a fraction of the cows that used to be in that area, Norco, Chino Hills, Corona. And it used to be way. I'd be driving home late from work, because I lived in Riverside at the time, for part of the time I worked at Anaheim Police Department. As I'm coming out of Anaheim, coming through the pass there, past Chino Hills and Norco, I knew by my nose I was getting closer to home.
Right?
Yeah. I was going, oh, I'm almost home.
But I have to say, even about the move, like, I just feel the Lord will, everything works out. Like, we'll be exactly where he wants us to be. Mm. And so I rest on his promises, knowing that it'll, especially because being in a relationship with a man that follows the Lord and is sold out to Jesus Christ, I know as head of our home, you will hear what the Lord wants for us. And so that's my confidence.
we're both going to be crying on this thing.
Yeah.
It is such a fantastic time to be alive.
Fantastic time to be a Christian.
Yeah. I love it. As much as we're being hated, as much as what's happening, it is incredible. I've learned so much about myself. Of course, I learned a lot about you, but I've learned so much more about our country that I didn't realize. Like the First and Second Amendment, and then just thinking, oh my gosh, that is so crazy. How did I never see that before? How was I never taught that before?
Oh,
I mean, so many things about our government, about the election process, everything. You just go and vote and you never really thought about it. Hardly ever. Took it for granted.
That your vote is actually going to count.
Yeah.
That at the end, they're going to be counting ballots.
Yeah.
I mean, when I saw them stop counting, I was like,
what the heck?
As long as I've been an adult, I don't remember. It's 9 o'clock. We're going to sleep now. And I was like, wait, what? I was like, I don't understand. When do we stop counting?
Because we stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning to figure out who won.
Right?
Like, it never stops.
I was like, what's happening right now?
Now, I'm a big fan of Mark Kay. You're not so much of a fan of Mark Kay, but I like Mark Kay. But what he was talking about just before we came on live, at least I'm watching a little bit delayed, is that who said, and I think it was Mark Kay talking, it could have been somebody else, that who said that voting had to be easy?
Yeah.
Like, we had to make it really convenient. Okay, we need to do it at home. We need to be able to mail it in. He goes, no, you just tell people it's between this time and this time on this day, and you go and vote. Like, when did this happen? When did this suddenly happen? People used to take horses and covered wagons to go vote.
Not just that. Do you realize we send our military? I've been an election spectator in the newly freed Soviet republics in Uzbekistan and Afghanistan. And what I saw in Iraq is that we send our military to defend people who wait in line for hours and hours and hours to cast a vote for the first time in the country's history. Remember the Iraqi thumbs, the black thumbs?
Yeah.
That we go through a process of having them give their thumbprint to make sure that that vote is legitimate, but yet in our own country, everybody goes to sleep at 9:30 and rolls suitcases into the election. I mean, it makes the rest of the world, like, look at us, like, what just happened to the United States?
We used to kind of look up to you guys.
Yeah, what did you guys just do? You know, even though we send our soldiers in harm's way to defend people to have an election for the first time in their lives, like our entire foreign policy apparatus overseas is about protecting elections and democracies. And yet we thought so little of our own.
Even seen articles out of Australia. I posted that one the other day that they're like going, do you know that your president is not cognitively all there? Like, the whole article's like,
okay, now we're not going down that road.
Did you know that? I mean, but again, I'm not going to apologize for the show. I'm just going to tell you, I hope you aren't shocked that we're talking a little bit about politics, but our pastor last night discussed a great deal as to why being involved in our politics and our government is biblical. And why it's important to understand all these things, and why it's important to maintain the churches in our country. Our country was based off our faith, about faith.
Yes,
on religion.
Belief in God. It's a cornerstone.
I think he said, I'm not sure which, if it was Jefferson or one of those.
John Adams.
Said that if at any time this country loses its focus on God, the country's gone.
Yes.
It'll die. The Constitution is bleeding.
Yes.
Because of what we're doing. Wow. Nicole says it's an incredible time to be alive.
Sure is, Nicole.
It is. It is incredible. And we're here for a reason. They put us here at this time for a reason. But we can't lay down and be silent and quiet down.
We are the watchmen.
Oh my gosh. I still could go on. I could go on to our nighttime show. I could make this a marathon.
There we go. We'll continue. See you at 6 o'clock.
Andy and Hetty, a marathon.
Woo! That may be frightening to some.
Wow, that was good. So happy. We're gonna have so much to talk about that. We're gonna be driving to Ventura.
Yes, going back to the VC.
Yeah,
to Ventura County.
To the lower income area of our state. Away from the cow smell. Priscilla was reminding me of Bakersfield talking about cows. Yeah,
and garlic.
And
I remember, what is that city? What is that town with all the garlic on the way to Bakersfield?
Clovis.
Clovis? No, I thought it started with a G. I can't remember.
Gorman.
Right now.
Clovis, I think, has garlic.
It's a whole garlic town.
The only reason I think of Clovis is because it's garlic cloves. So that's why I put the two together. Clovis.
I don't remember that city name, but there's some other city name. Maybe Priscilla will remember it.
Garlic. California, let's see. California town, garlic, California town.
Yeah, just keep the Gilroy.
It's like the cow smell.
Yes.
From Norco and goes into Chino Hills. I think it's the same thing.
Holy Gilroy. Cow, no pun intended.
Gilroy. Isn't the internet amazing? You have a question?
It's nothing you can't find on the internet.
Yeah, I should have used DuckDuckGo though. I'm sorry, I use that other one. But I've been using DuckDuckGo a lot lately.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, it does give you a more widespread.
Gilroy, I've seen Priscilla knew it was Gilroy.
Yeah, we should have just waited. All right, anything else?
No.
Did you want to talk about any of the passages, the Second Corinthians or any of those?
I just think they're just right in line for, go to the other 2 Corinthians, this one. I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. The more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. Mm-hmm. And it's, and really we have to prepare our hearts for that. We have to prepare our hearts for the ridicule and the persecution that will come, because the more prepared we are, the less intimidated we will be. That's another concept that Jack talked about, is that fear has gripped the church, that they fear death more than the love of Christ and eternity, and that we're not even citizens of this country. We're citizens of heaven. We're just here visiting.
Yeah. Some good stuff right there. Right. It was a God moment.
Podcast listeners can know what the graphic is.
A God moment. All right, my friends, we love you. Thank you for joining. Again, remember, if you're watching the replay now, because we're the show's ending, that before you leave a comment and say hi and tell us where you're watching from. Share and subscribe and do all the other stuff that will help push this out to other people so they can see it. Thank you, Hedia, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
It's like you're my guest. Anything else?
That's it.
All right, tell them.
God bless you and have a beautiful day.
All right, take care.